This is Talk To Me. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore
A New Life Begins!
To hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, congregation? Welcome into Talk To Me. This is episode 242. As always, I am your host, Joshua Toomey. The guest this week is the great Phil Dimmel of Violence, formerly of Machine Head, and now he is one of the hardest working men in metal. He is on the new Brian Posehn album. He's got an upcoming album with his supergroup featuring Bobby Blitz and Mike Portnoy. Some great stuff with Dave Ellefson and Brendan Schapetti of Bleeding Through. This interview was done at his bar in Dublin, California. The wife and I recently went out there to see Mr. Bungle, and while we were in town, we got to see an in-store with Brian Posehn and Scott Ian. Got to see a live taping of The Dollop, which was fantastic. And then we got to go to Alcatraz, so only in San Francisco a few days, and made the best of it. And I knew I couldn't go to San Francisco and not get someone on the podcast. So many great musicians out there and such rich history out there. So I had to find somebody, and Phil was gracious enough to have me out to his bar. If you're in the Dublin, California, San Francisco area, it's about 45 minutes outside San Francisco, so it's not too bad to get out there. Drinks were great. Had a great time with Phil, which you will hear coming up shortly. Make sure you're heading over to my socials and checking out the Talk To Me t-shirt, the latest Talk To Me t-shirt. Skull, pizza, headphones, can't go wrong. $25 free shipping in the continental United States. If you are outside the U.S., we will work something out, and I will get a t-shirt out to you. Small through extra large is what I have currently. Leave your name and your address. The t-shirts are $25 free shipping in the continental United States. If you're outside the United States, I will hook you up wherever you are in the world. We will work something out. So once again, $25, paypal.me/talktome. Leave your name, your address, and your size. Small through extra large. I will get a shirt out to you as soon as possible. Also, head over to merchlive.com. Check out all their bundles they have. They have so many great t-shirts over there from Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax, Metallica, Five Finger Death Punch, Pantera, and so much more. Merchlive.com. Use the promo code TOOMEY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. Yes, that is TOOMEY10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And once again, merchlive.com, TOOMEY10 for 10% off your entire order. This is a nice long interview with Phil Dimmel, so we will get into one of my favorite solos from Phil Dimmel, get into my conversation with Phil, listen to some classic Violence. Rob Avera's pick from The Kit is coming up after that, and then I will talk to you guys momentarily. Sitting here at the Back Lounge with Phil Dimmel, owner of the Back Lounge. Yeah. Phil Dimmel here. How you doing, man?
We're in the back of the Back Lounge.
We are in the back. And I was telling him earlier, it didn't hit me until I got here what the Back Lounge was, and it's the best part of the bus, right?
Yes. Yeah. You don't talk about what happens in the back lounge, man.
If you get on the front part of the bus, that's one thing. But if you can make it to the Back Lounge, you made it.
But you don't tell anybody.
Yeah, you definitely you got to pass those.
And that's kind of our trip here. Is kind of like, you know, the three wise monkeys: see no evil, hear no evil. Right. It's just kind of like, you know. And I think Marta came up with a tagline like "Indulge in confidence," like, you know.
Nice.
What stays at the back lounge?
So a little bit of history of this bar. I know it was called Evie's, and I heard you talk about it once before. But just kind of give a little rundown of, like, you know, what made you want to get into the bar business and purchase this place.
Oh man, well, it's been a bar in this particular spot for, you know, 30 plus years, probably 50 years. It used to be called Patrick's. It was called the Chartreuse Moose when I was a kid. Nice.
I did.
I live in the same house that I was, you know, I've lived in since I was like 9 months old or something. So yeah, I bought my parents' house about 15 years ago, and
all that Machine Head money rolling in.
No, actually, no. That was it was right when I joined the band, I want to say, but it was I was working construction up until 2011 or 12. You know, so that's a good 10 years into my Machine Head career. That
right.
I was union carpenter, still hold my card, but while we're talking, I'm like just cut out a window and I'm putting in a door and a window and threw stucco at my house, and, like. But the bar here, Marta, when we got together in 2010, she came up to live with me. She was living in Southern California, and she was getting a job. You know, she needed to work, and so we had a buddy, Jay Jones, who worked here and said, "Hey, I could get her a job, you know, bartending here." And so she started bartending, and, you know, it led to her managing the place and learning how to, you know, order and learning the business.
Right.
And so Evie, the previous owner, older lady, was all about the girl power. You know, lots of girls work here and wants to empower women. And so she took her under her wing, and, you know, they just hit it off really well. And she had owned it here for like 30 years or so and wanted to sell. And we're like, man, I would love to be my own boss.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, and so it was towards the last couple of years of Machine Head, too. So where it's like, yeah, being my own boss right now would be a pretty rad deal.
Nice.
So yeah, we pulled some money together and pulled out a business loan. It was just about paid off already, under 2 years, and had all our loans paid off and making serious money, man. People like to drink.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're here. What is this? The Friday afternoon. Nice little crowd, you know, already. So
yeah, yeah.
Little Valentine's Day crowd.
Yeah, people start getting off of work and
yeah. What was it like kind of growing up around here? Obviously, I played here once. I played the Pound in 2002, 2003, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And then
what was the name of the band?
I played in Primer 55.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And we actually played with Skin Lab. We were on tour. Skin Lab was on tour with us, with Dope Skin Lab Us. And all right. We played the Pound.
Wasn't your drummer, wasn't he local?
Preston, no. Preston was from Dope, and then he went to Primer when I joined.
He was a drummer from that band. But I was familiar with the name.
But yeah, it was, you know, they had their moment. Yeah. Actually, the 20th anniversary of the first album came out, so I think we might do some shows this
year. That makes you old.
I know, right? Very old.
Yes.
But yeah, man, I'm just kind of being out here for the second time. You know, I was actually talking to Gene Hoagland yesterday about this. Was, you know, going to a city. You know, there's two ways to go. Once touring and once actually going. Because I've been here before, but I've never actually been here before. You know what I'm saying?
Be a tourist.
You've been to so we actually get to do touristy stuff this time. And it's a cool area. I'm not digging these hills, though, man. Driving up and down these hills is driving me bonkers. But what was it like kind of growing up around here?
Well, I mean, you drove out here, so you know how far away we are from the city. Mm-hmm. We're close enough, but yet far enough.
Right.
And it's, you know, we live in a valley here. It's a little suburb, but it's like a secluded kind of a valley where everybody growing up knew each other. And Dublin back in the days was actually, we were scrubbling, you know, because we were like the pothead school, right. And the stoners, and the, you know. And so we were kind of, because the surrounding areas, Pleasanton and Danville, San Ramon, they're a little more richer area. You know, Livermore out there, you get a little more into the country. And they're,
nice.
You know, got the cowboys out that way. But Dublin was definitely like the little dirty kid in the middle of these two rich communities.
Yeah,
so it was cool. It was a good music scene here from the people that lived here. I mean, this Willie Langenhuisen, he was in Laz Rocket, and he played in a local band called Rampage, which included Chuck Billy, and you know, so they were playing parties, and I was too young to go to those at the time, but Chuck's brother Ed was in Violence with me, and nice. You know, in 1985, and so we looked up to, they were like a few years older, and they started getting into the club scene and showing us, hey, Berkeley's out here, and bands are playing here, and you know, and Metallica starts up, and all this starts happening, and so it was a very rich in music kind of neighborhood. My cousin Troy Lucetta, yeah. from Tesla. Was grew up like less than a mile from here, you know. Oh, Zetro, wow. from Exodus lives less than a mile from here, you know. And so all these different kind of genres, but you know, all kind of, the talent is pretty insane when you think about it.
You know, I was thinking that Tesla predated you, but I guess it was about the same time, right? Like,
yeah.
So you guys were kind of Violence and Tesla and all that stuff. It was kind of all going on around the same time, right?
It was like 85 is when Violence started. Our first record came out in 88. And I think that Tesla was getting just maybe like 86, 87 ish. But Troy was in a band called, they were called 415, and he was in the Eric Martin band.
Okay.
So he was already, you know, he was playing Day in the Greens and playing all these big shows before Tesla really hit. So
were you close with him growing up, or
I didn't meet him until 2007.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we were on tour with Heaven and Hell in Phoenix, and he was there, and he showed up, and we met for the first time. You know,
was that just like a? Are you first cousins, second cousins?
Second cousins.
Okay,
our moms.
So it's a little bit distant.
Our moms are cousins.
Okay.
And he was all. It was just never.
Yeah,
you know,
because
I grew up, my family was pretty close.
Yeah.
And so the. You know, we had family reunions that we always had to go to, and you know, they're fun. But he was never really a part of that, so we never connected in that way. So.
Yeah, I met Troy a couple of years ago at the Rockin' Pod Expo in Nashville. It's like a heavy metal podcast convention. And Troy actually, I think, just got announced today to come back this year. So
right,
that'd be kind of cool. So he was I think a big hit of all the podcasts out there.
All right,
he's a little bit out of my demographic, but I might pull him in on this one.
Well, I have his sticks are, I think, the furthest on the left. Can you see all the drumsticks and the chandeliers here? So these are Johnny Tempesta's on this side. Then it's Mike Portnoy.
Nice.
Then we got. Master Braun from Mastodon, nice. Dave McLean, of course, and then Lars, Charlie Benante, Dave Lombardo, and then Troy's on the end.
Oh, nice.
Pretty cool. And then these lights over the drums were given to us by Yamaha and by Dave McLean, so I'm having people sign them as they come in.
Oh, that's cool, man.
The celebrity guys that come in. So,
yeah. It's definitely, I had heard that, you know, the Jackson did the bathroom door knobs.
The guitar neck.
Kind of pulling in, man. It's good stuff.
It's
to
a
see.
Sports bar, but it's got a rock vibe to it too. So.
You know, it's funny. I was actually I was saying something about this back home, but you know, the Niners just in the Super Bowl, and I was in San Francisco. You just don't see any 49ers stuff. Like, is it just
because they lost?
Is it just a weird fan base though? Like, I mean, not even like. People wearing a hat or a shirt or
it's
like
because
something.
They lost. You know, if they would have won, it would have been insane. But it's been pretty quiet because they lost. You
you're
know,
a Raiders
saying?
Guy, though, right?
I am a Raiders guy.
How do you feel about them going to Vegas?
I get it. You know, it's because the Coliseum's a pile of crap.
Yeah.
And they needed a place to play. And I don't know all the ins and outs, but as much as I do know, it just seems like, you know, hey, they gave them a chance.
Yeah.
Las Vegas is going, hey, we'll build you a stadium. And give you all this. Of course, you're going to go. You're not going to stay where you're not wanted.
Yeah, we were in Vegas over the summer and saw the skeleton of the stadium.
It's coming along,
man. And then now they've shown pictures of it, and you're just like, oh my god, you know, like, you know, to go from the Coliseum to that thing is just it's going to be nuts. You know?
They have never had like a state of the art stadium, man.
Right?
Never. The one
where
in Oakland
they play
was
in LA?
New.
They played the.
But that was they called the Mausoleum. It was like. The one they had the 1920 Olympics there or something ridiculous, you know. So
state of the art in the 20s.
Yeah, they you know they were gonna fix it up and put boxes in, but I went to many games down at that Coliseum. It sucked.
I know the Raiders do kind of embrace the metal side of things. I know, you know, Metallica played the parking lot and things like
there.
That. Were you there for that?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I'm a Titans fan, and that was the Titans game.
Yes.
And so there's footage of James going, you know, like, for whom the bell tolls on the Titans today or something like that, you know? It's just like, it's
Bob Rock playing bass.
Yeah. Bob Rock wanted that gig so bad, too. You know?
It was fun, man. We heard a rumor, and we usually party on the north side, and that was in the south side. And so we came down, and once they got, it was like it was Ruthie's Inn all over again.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of pitting on the asphalt and playing, you know, all the old songs and Whiplash, and it was fun.
It was kind of cool that in-store with at the Amoeba yesterday, with Scott Ian being there. And mm-hmm. you could tell, like, a lot of the dudes that were there were probably from the scene from the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I just want to pick everyone's brain. But, right. you know, because growing up even in Nashville, you know, the Bay Area scene was, like, so the thing where to go, and you know,
yeah,
and the whole, all the bands, you know, you guys included, you know, even Violence and mm-hmm. You know, Machine Head later on, things like that, but right. even the Exodus and Testaments and Metallica and all yeah. that, and even the byproduct bands of, like, you know, Megadeth and right. Slayer kind of adopting this area too.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So it's just like you know, growing up, you know, you knew this was where to go. You know, what was it like kind of growing up in that?
It was amazing, man. And we
did you know that it was something going on, or was it just like, this is my where I live?
I figured, you know, because I during that golden era, you know, I traveled down to LA and seen some shows down there. I would roadie for Legacy, which was, you know, Testament was Zet, and we'd go down there and play, and you'd see that there was a lot, you know, happening down there too. So I figured it was just kind of like what was happening. And as the older you get, then you realize, holy crap, this is something really special.
Yeah.
And the movie Murder in the Front Row, the mm-hmm. documentary that's out, really encapsulates a lot of the really early beginning of that. But later on, after, you know, Practice What You Preach time, like early 90s time, when it's like, man, you could go to the Omni or the Stone 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, and you did. There was a core 200 people that just were part of the scene. It didn't matter who was playing. Everybody was friends. And, you know, it was a special time. It was really cool.
You'd mentioned Laz Rocket earlier. And I think that a lot of times when people talk about the Bay Area scene, they always talk really highly of those guys. And kind of like maybe like a forefather, founding father of the scene, or just someone that was doing something at the time that kind of showed that it could be done. Maybe that's where we're at.
They were, I think that Laz, they were kind of a tweener band. You
yeah.
know, they weren't thrash, but they weren't really, because there's a lot of hair metal going on at that time too. So there was a lot of, they were kind of, they teased their hair, you know, they had the big
right.
hair. So they were kind of, they were a metal band, definitely, double bass. So I think they were a tweener band that never really caught on in that sense. They were there in the beginning. They were the reason why I got into heavy music.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, wow, Laz is killer. And the two guitar players, Aaron Jellum and Phil Kettner, were amazing, dude. They were so good together.
Yeah.
Amazing harmony solos and stuff that I had never seen before. And,
well, let's dive into some of the, since you're doing so many things now, you're all over the place and getting to do so many things now that you're out of Machine Head. You get to,
yeah,
learning,
yeah, there's a lot going on,
learning
for sure.
Stuff everywhere.
I think that I've started turning down things.
Yeah. yeah.
Because there was a while where it's like, an Ellison, who's I'm kind of working with in a sense, he's all, yeah, you're just like me, man. You don't turn
yeah.
anything down here.
Well, that's like, yeah, he said that many times, and even as another guy, Rock and Pot Expo last year, Ellison was there, sat down, and he's like, you know, I just started saying yes. He's like, you just don't say no, you just say yes. And he's like,
make it work.
And it's funny because, you know, obviously my show's not huge, but it's cool to get a guy like that on.
Yeah.
But it's funny, I'll like see who he's doing interviews with. I don't think he says no to a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is cool, though.
He likes, mean, you know, that boy he likes to talk.
He gets, he can talk. You can get like a great interview out of him with like three questions.
For sure.
If you just get him on the right track and just let him go, he's a good
right?
talker.
Put a quarter in him and let him go.
Well, first on the list is just recently announced was, I guess you're just going as BPMD, the
yeah.
cover band that we were talking about a minute ago.
BPMD, yeah. No, that's not the cover band I was talking about
oh.
before. That was the Merkins.
Oh, the Merkins, okay.
Yeah, so that's why you brought up Skinner. No, I was
yeah.
talking about the Merkins, which is
okay,
my high
okay.
school buddies, and we play here.
Yeah, okay.
And we play, and that's, you know, the. So BPMD is Bobby Blitz, Mike Portnoy, Mark Mengi, and myself. And we just got together one day, threw down, you know, 10 cover tunes from
yeah.
the 70s, all American bands, Skinner, Ted Nugent, James Gang, you know, Blue Oyster Cult, bands like that. And we rocked them up a little bit. We thrashed them up a little bit,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
but it was my first time tracking rhythm guitars in, I want to say like 12 years or so, 12
oh, wow.
or 13 years. Yeah.
Also, Rob did all the rhythm.
Yeah, there was during the Blackening. Is when he started taking off doing all the rhythm tracks.
Huh. That's a very Hetfield thing to do. I didn't realize that Kirk really didn't play much on
right.
old Metallica albums until, I think, what, Load, maybe? I think it was when he stepped up, or Saint Anger.
I think
might
he might have
been
played, yeah, I think he played on Saint Anger.
Yeah. You didn't realize how much Kirk didn't play on those albums.
Right,
you
right.
He just came in for the solos and get out, you know?
Yeah, there was very few other little parts that I'd play on the records. You know, some of the ambient
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
maybe, or But no, he took over doing all the rhythms, and so it was a big deal for me to, yeah. to go into like playing with caliber of the dudes that I was playing with, and go in and just kind of play really well and be the only guitar player, so take over all the solos too, and so. You know, did all my rhythm tracks in a day and did all my solos in a day. And
is this a get in a room and jam thing before you do, or is this you get some tracks and do it?
Well, what we did was we talked about it before, and everybody picked two songs, and then we had a couple songs that we had to do, yeah. you know, as and so there's 10 songs total. Then we got together. I flew out to Mike's out in Pennsylvania and got together one day, set up, and we're all right, let's run through it a couple times,
okay,
and
cool.
he tracked his drums, and then, you know, we're done.
Well, that's cool, just because so much technology now, you know, it's like you get sent a track, and I'm sure you're doing that now with some of the solo stuff you're doing, you know, where you're adding solos to stuff, where mm-hmm. you're getting, here's the track, do what you want, and send it back in a thing. But it's just cool to see, you know, getting in a room and jamming is such a... almost
yeah, that was important.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah, because Bobby's singing next to me here, and we're able to vibe on each other, and I think that it was a cool project. I thank those dudes a lot for giving me the opportunity yeah, to kind of, it gave me a lot of confidence in, you know, my playing and my abilities and just, you know, just to be kind of wanted in that sense, you know, it was a big deal.
It's funny, I was listening to, I've referred to a couple times, your interview with Scott Bowling with Good Company with Bowling.
Yeah.
A great dude. Scott, I love Scott.
Yeah, awesome.
But he, you know, on there you kind of talked about maybe doubting yourself a little bit or like, maybe I'm not a good guitar player. Somewhere in there, you'd said something along that lines, kind of self-doubt. I'm just like, really? Like, Phil Dimmel, like, kind of, you know, just didn't believe in his abilities, you know? And it's just kind of, it's crazy to hear something like that out of somebody so talented.
Yeah, leaving the last situation, I mean, I don't, you know, I've reached a point now, here we are in February, Valentine's Day,
right.
And it's been
happy,
you know,
Valentine's
15,
Day.
Yeah, awesome hanging with you on Valentine's Day.
Hey, you were drywalling a second ago,
absolutely.
It's not like you were out.
No, we're not doing anything. Every day is Valentine's Day for us, man. Yeah,
I believe you.
15 months later, yeah. I've had this kind of, not epiphany, but just kind of just feeling, it's just like, I'm done sniveling and whining yeah. about those days. And
right.
Like it's. I said my piece, and I don't regret a lot that I said, but I've said it enough. And
someone's,
you know, I think
here.
That you were one of the first
yeah.
ones that I talked about with it.
I didn't realize until doing a little research that you hadn't really done interviews yet.
I hadn't.
So I was just
after
my
not
hands
doing
together.
It for so long,
yeah,
and
yeah,
then you
yeah.
were one of the. And I don't want to be like, oh, you're gonna get the exclusive.
What
you, it's just like you were the guy that asked.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I spilled.
Got
to
thank Rob Rivera for that.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah,
good dude. Getting back to the point where it's been long enough, man.
Yeah.
It's been long enough. I had so many good years and so many good times in that band, and you know, I don't want to talk about the shit anymore. I just want to talk about, you know, stuff that we're doing now and the good times from that band.
Yeah,
and you know, all
yeah,
that entails.
I mean, you know, good or bad, those records are going to stand the test of time. You
yes.
know, just even
most
on the way
of
over here, I was listening. What's that?
Most of them.
Well, yeah. Hey, I don't get. I like some of the catharsis. I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
You, it was funny hearing you kind of talk about some of the songs, but you know, I was like, you know, Triple Beam actually isn't that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so on to no, I'm just kidding. You know,
so
fun.
The BPMD record is it's coming out. We think maybe June, maybe July.
Yeah.
We're about to sign a deal, or you know. I think that we signed a deal already, so there's a record coming out. Probably do some festivals,
yeah.
probably do some coast dates, both coasts, and whenever we can. We're both all busy dudes, and
yeah.
you know, Bobby just had an Overkill record come out. Portnoy's always has a record.
Portnoy's in every other band.
Yes.
You're going to turn into like the Mike Portnoy thing. Where
I am not going to turn, you know, he plays with the talent
yeah.
that guy plays with, you know, that kind of takes me out of a lot of that.
I don't know. So it's funny, you got Bobby Blitz in this, but then looks like Bobby Gustafson just joined Violence. How's that going to work out? Are you all right with that?
It's going to work out fine. Those guys are, you know, they're pros, and they have, I wasn't involved in the divorce, you know. Either of them have barely spoke about each other, and
yeah.
when they have, it's been on, you know, respectful terms, and to me,
yeah.
and that's all I care about.
Right.
You know, it's to me, it's hasn't been a thing. They've been respectful to me, because I'm not going to let one of my friends talk
right.
shit about another one of my friends. If I don't have beef with, you know, whatever. Unless I agree with it, then it'll be.
Right.
But in this sense, it's the
yeah.
guys are being pros, so it's.
Yeah, as soon as I had Bobby on here, when he was for Satan's Taint. And I was like, anybody that names their band Satan's Taint is more than welcome to be on the podcast.
He's up here.
Yeah.
We've been rehearsing.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, it's been four jams, and he picked up songs really well, man. Bobby's killing it. He's put it, he works hard, and, you know, he knows the songs, so it's you know, he's playing Rob solos, like, better than I was playing them, you know, so it's, so I, you know, it's been great.
Just kind of looking back on that, I mean, around that time, you know, you guys were coming up over here, Overkill's out there, you know, what was the crossbreed back then?
There was a definite West Coast, East Coast bias. We were, you know, we took our thrash pretty serious, and we took our, we owned it pretty seriously, you know, and so back then it was, I think as you know, because they were friendly with Metallica dudes and Testament toured with Overkill, you know, but we didn't really have that connection and that time together, you know. So it was just a little bit of like, East Coast, you know.
Right. How was your, how did this come about with Bobby joining Violence for these shows? And stuff?
Perry was good friends with him.
Okay.
Perry had jammed with him back in the day, and I think him and Billy Milano and Bobby were supposed to do something at some point when Perry quit Violence. Mm-hmm. Perry quit Violence to do something with Bobby and Billy. Yeah. And so they've kept in touch, and, you know, Perry had said, hey, Bobby's available, he knows the tunes, and, you know, came up with Ray, and it was just time to move on.
And then this is culminating. The next thing it looks like you're doing is going to Australia, correct? Is that the next big stuff?
We're scheduled to go to Japan, Australia, New Zealand with those dudes next week.
Yeah, so you got to get this window done before you get out of here.
Yes, got to get the door in. Did it?
It kind of seems like something's happened in Australia, and I think there was some sort of promoter deal. I don't know the ins and outs over there, but seems like Australia's opened up to other bands going and not just doing the big day out festivals and things like that. Seems like there's a lot more smaller touring going on over there. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I haven't, you know, it's been off my radar. I'm not too sure. But I know of a lot of, you know, smaller, whatever. I don't know what smaller is. Right. If you're able to get over there, then it's something substantial. If somebody wants to come see you in Australia, then something's going cool. So, for sure.
And then we talked about it earlier with the Brian Posehn album. How did that come about? Was that just a, hey, will you throw a solo on this thing? You know, Brian?
Jay Rustin. I met Jay Rustin. There was a Bowling for Ronnie Dio thing. And I went to Sebastian Bach's house after.
Okay.
He's spinning vinyl, and there's a bunch of people there. And it's the first time that I drank. Or got drunk. I'd had one drink on my 50th birthday, but I went a good 2.5 years without drinking.
Oh, wow.
And so this was the first night I got drunk and met Jay Rustin, and we just got started. He's a Canadian, and we're talking hockey and hit it off pretty good. And so this came up to do a solo. He said, hey, we want to throw a solo down on, you know, this record. And so we sent it out, and super fun.
Yeah, I got I haven't listened to it yet. I got for the in-store, you know, to get it, buy a CD, meet them, mm-hmm. or whatever. I was like, yeah, you know, we got some travel money, let's do it. And I bought the CD, and then they were doing a Q&A, and I was like, what would I ask them? I was like, be like, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, hold up the CD and be like, does anyone have a CD player? Like,
right.
You know, like, I'll just listen to it on Spotify tomorrow when it comes out.
There you go.
You know, it's just funny how technology. I don't even know if we have a CD player, an actual CD player in our house.
I don't.
Yeah.
Unless you play it on my son's Xbox or something.
Yeah, something like that. You would have to rig up.
I do have one in my car.
Yeah.
I have one in my car.
I don't think we have one in our rental car. I was looking at it, you know, trying to figure it out. And then she's got a Prius, and she was like, you know, a newer Prius. And I was like, she kept saying she didn't know if she had a CD player or not. And I finally looked at it, and it's like, it's right there, like a little bitty slit where a CD would go. But if you didn't know it, you wouldn't know it was there.
Yeah, my desktop doesn't have one either. Yeah. One of the iMacs, you know, it's like, I guess no CDs.
Yeah, I'd heard some other podcasts, they were talking about if you want a DVD player, you have to get like an external drive.
Yeah.
To travel and watch movies and stuff, man. Just like, the physical medium is just pretty much gone. Right. Were you ever like a record collector? And
I didn't collect records. Stuff? I collected cassettes.
Yeah.
Because I had the Ghetto Blaster on my bike, you know, delivering my papers or whatever and taking it to school. And so I liked having cassettes.
So you got to do the paper route as a kid?
I did.
That's kind of cool, man. Yeah. I always wanted that. I lived in like too much of a rural area for that. I would have died. By the end. Did you ever see the movie Rad?
No.
It was like a bike movie, but the BMX 80s movie that right. You know, the main guys, he has a paper route, but he's also like a BMX guy on the side.
Oh, right
so
on.
His route, he would like jump stuff and flip and, you know. But yeah,
nah, I put the bags on my, I had a BMX bike and nice. I put the bags on the handlebars.
Oh, wow.
And you know, and you had to do them, distribute them evenly, otherwise your bike would be so right. heavy on the inside. But I got to where you could throw them from the street and, you know, hit the porches and have my ghetto blaster going.
Did you have a lot of, like, you know, throw them in the bushes and people yelling at you, like, Fell!
I get complaints, and I was shitty, you know, I was just bad.
Right.
You know, breaking porch lights or... I remember I threw one, and a person had a stand-up light, like a lantern,
yeah.
and it broke, and it stuck right in there, and I couldn't reach it, so it's just like, okay, well, it's Oakland Tribune paper. Somebody's they're going to know who broke your light, you know?
Wow. See, that's another thing that's kind of gone away, too, is the, you know, the newspaper and yeah. you know, I just all this stuff. It's like, yeah. you know, if you want to... I think the phone.
You're 40. You're talking like you're 40 right now.
No, no, it's great. It's yeah. Like and this new music, I swear, you know.
Yeah.
That's actually talking about that is just so many people complaining online about like the Grammys and how, you know, they don't have enough rock and metal on there. And I'm like, they've never had rock and metal on right. there. Why are you maybe Metallica played once or twice?
Right, right.
But it's not like we grew up watching the Grammys and it was all Slayer and Megadeth.
Right. You know? It's never that way.
I know. I don't yeah. know why people are getting so mad.
Smith. You yeah. know, maybe.
You know, you're going to get the Foo Fighters, you know, live right. with it.
Yeah. I love the Foo Fighters.
Oh,
cool
I do too.
That.
I'm just saying. That's
as big as they
that's
get.
All, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get yeah. the Foo Fighters. But will you travel to Las Vegas for some Raiders games?
I think so. Yeah. I'll probably go maybe once a year.
Yeah.
We've got a almost 4-year-old at home, and, you know, he needs constant attention and supervision because right. he'll get into he's a wild kid man
okay.
his name is Wolf so he's you know nice. Living up to his name but probably as he gets older and we're yeah. able to get away out of town
okay
probably go down there maybe one game a year and we'll see
geographically I think it was is
are you a Raider fan
no
okay
I'm
Titans fan.
Yeah, so sorry about that 42-21 beating.
Right, right, right. Wasn't that close either.
No, yeah, well, it was tied at halftime, but then they poured on in the second half. But we're not going to talk about that right now.
That seems so long ago, man. That was almost
right?
20 years ago.
No, no, not yet. Not, I'm talking about a couple of this season.
Oh, you guys smoked us.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was, yeah.
All right.
No, actually, this year was the... Titans in this AFC Championship game.
Right, right.
For the
I was
first time in 17 years since,
right, right. since
the Raiders Titans game.
Right.
Yeah, well, obviously you would be rooting for us because I'm assuming you can't stand the Chiefs.
I didn't want the Chiefs.
No.
But I was rooting for the Chiefs over the Niners, though.
Yeah, that's got to be, you're in a weird spot right there.
I was like, just rooting for injuries.
Just, but man, Mahomes is just like, he can just be garbage. I rewatched part of that game.
He never garbage.
It was 53 minutes of the 49ers were winning that game,
yeah.
and then the Chiefs scored 21 unanswered
yeah,
points.
Yeah.
Just like, how does that happen?
Yeah,
you know?
Mahomes has been doing it all year, man.
Yeah, I mean, he did that to us in the championship game. We were up 17-7.
Yeah. And then 51 points on Houston after
yeah.
he's down 24-0. You know,
just like how does
I
that
picked,
happen?
I picked the Super Bowl. I said KC over SF.
Yeah.
KC wins. Before the last week of the season.
Oh, nice.
So that was, you know.
Maybe
was,
you're in the wrong game. Maybe you should be in. Maybe you should be in Vegas.
Because when I used to bet on pro sports or on sports in general, I lost my ass. So it's.
Well, that's like anytime I.
That is a true addiction for me. I can't do it.
Well, I look at we just in. I technically live over the river in southern Indiana, and they just legalized sports betting, and we've got the casino there.
Right on.
But it's still a little bit of a drive, so it's not like it's on the corner store kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, I went out there and placed a couple of bets, but it's like anytime I'm like 100% sure this is going to happen, the exact opposite. Like not only the exact opposite, just like the whatever could be the furthest from what I picked happens. You know, like
that's hard.
Yeah.
There's no sure things. That's why all those lights are on in Vegas. That's why there's a big stadium.
That's
going
why
up
that big
right.
I wonder how they're gonna the ratio of visiting fans is gonna be on that because I think that the hotels there were probably gonna have a huge chunk of tickets.
Yeah.
And it's probably gonna be a package deal where you can you know, Titans Raiders. If you're a Titans fan, you come in, grab your. You know,
but how many fans can honestly are going to travel that far? 5,000, 10,000?
I don't know, man.
It's
crazy.
Still going to be like 4-1. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well,
Raiders fans travel, dude.
Yeah.
They travel.
The being a Titans fan, it's kind of odd because our stadium's about 68,000, and Nashville's kind of become an it city. Yeah. To travel too, so yeah. People are like, oh, we're playing. Let's go, you know, make a weekend of Nashville and go see our team play.
That's cool.
And then when the Bills came to town, it was 50-50 Bills fans. It
really?
Was insane.
Wow. Holy crap.
And like you could hear it when the Bills did something good. You could hear a roar, like wow. You know, it's like wow. But you know, it's just. But I think that the flat screen TV,
yeah.
And you're sitting at home for $40 of beer and pizza. You know, you don't have to go to parking. You don't have to fight traffic. Yeah. You don't have to fight the parking lot.
Idiots at the game.
Yeah, idiots at the game. You know, it's just. I think
a lot of idiots at the Raider games in Oakland, man.
But you know, going say traveling to Vegas or traveling to you know in any opposing city, I think Titans play the Bengals next year. That's about a 2-hour and a half drive from me.
Oh, sweet.
So yeah, so I'm probably going to go up there. You know, it's just fun to see your team in another state.
Right.
And you know, going in as the underdog, as the, you know, outnumbered fan and all that crap. That seems
I haven't done that too much. I went to a San Diego game. The Raiders had a chance to clinch, and it was when Breeze was on the Chargers. It was 2001. It was the year we went. It was the Tuck Rule game, so 2001. And we went in there, and it was a Raider game.
Yeah.
It was 70-30 Raider fans in that San Diego stadium. It was, you walked through the tailgate, you figured you were in Oakland.
Yeah.
So that was the only time I've been like at a visiting
stadium. Well, they were showing the L.A. Charger games. Did you see the fans at those games?
Yes.
They were like 95% opposing fans.
Yes.
The Steelers game, it was just like all terrible towels just
pretty
flying
crazy.
Through there. It was just so cool, man.
But, Rivers says, I'm out of here.
Right? Yeah. I could see him going to the Colts, and I'm going to have to deal with him for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Just they go from Manning to Luck, have like a down year, go to Phillip Rivers. It's just going to be like a thorn in my side for the rest of my life.
Right.
But yeah, it's so basically you're living the dream at this point. You know, you're kind of a free agent musically. You get to do cool projects. You get to kind of live your life. You've got the bar. You got the sports bar. You come down here and
pretty fortunate,
you know, root for your team and all that stuff. And
I got this. I'm calling it an umbrella, you know, just called The Echoes of Reckoning. It's like my solo projects will all fall under that title, and it could be anything. It could be acoustic, it could be rock, it could be thrash, it could be just metal, and that's what the Permanent Decay came out.
Okay.
It was a song that I had written for the previous band, and come on, yeah, you're fine. So trying to break away, man. No, on parole. On parole.
Nice.
Back in 1983.
Was there a death penalty in there, too, or something
death
like that?
Death penalty was right before violence was death penalty. So, but it's, you know, a song that I had written, and me and Dave recorded together. I was playing it at my clinics and decided to put some vocals on it. Brandon from Bleeding Through came in, and Ellison said, let's throw some bass on it and maybe just release this thing and see how it goes. And people are digging it, man.
Yeah.
People are loving it, you know. There's some, you know, obvious hate, too, or whatever, but for the most part, people are fucking digging it.
Yeah.
So we've decided that maybe we're going to write some more together and whatever happens with that. So I got some more tunes going for that. And
yeah, man.
Writing for a bunch of other people that you know, too, and lots of music coming out of my home studio, man.
Yeah, it's just keep it coming, man, because it's just...
I need a name for the home studio. I need a name. I can't. Because that just sounds, you know, stupid.
Yeah.
Be cool.
Well, I mean,
tagline.
Just go with your demolition studio or whatever, you know.
What's the wife's too, you know?
Well,
so
she's a demo now too.
Yeah,
so
she is.
There you go. They you know, it's kind of cool you did the stuff with Brendan. Obviously, I'm assuming that connection came through Marta.
Yes.
And all that stuff. But you know, Brendan's obviously another past guest of the show, but another great dude and a good talker too. So
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see that. You know, Bleeding Through, I don't think kind of got their due at the time, but they're kind of another one of those bands that went away for a little bit and kind of popped back up as as, you know, like, oh, you guys were way ahead of your time and all that stuff, you know.
They're heavy as fuck, man.
Yeah, they were great. I saw them open for like Bullet From My Valentine at some point, man.
Right, 2010.
Yeah.
Before then.
Might have been About that time. 2008 to 2010,
yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's because we toured with them in 2010, so it was like before that.
Yeah. So it was like one of those things where at the time...
I was standing behind her at the Warfield going...
I bet you were.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's where we went to see Mr. Bungle last night, was the Warfield.
Right.
And my God, the homeless problem in San Francisco is... obviously, living in where I do, you hear about it.
Right.
It's that bad that you hear about it. But when you actually see it...
You're right in the Tenderloin there. You're right in the heart of it.
And we were in, the Mission... What is it? The Mission District or something?
I don't know. Yeah. But, it's called the Tenderloin.
Yeah. But it was just like... they were building fires on the side of the street. And the street smelled like piss.
Yes.
There's just tents everywhere.
Yep.
I was just like, man, like, this is as bad, if not worse, than advertised.
Yeah, for sure.
And, it's just to see something like that. But what I was getting at with the Warfield, man, it was a cool old venue, man. You could just tell, mm-hmm. A lot of history there. And, God knows who else played there and how long it's been there and everything else.
I think that it was like a speakeasy back in the fucking Depression or something, And so if you go downstairs, there's like secret hallways and, where it's got a lot of history there for sure.
Yeah, it's cool.
Cool place.
Kind of like I'm assuming you've played the Rave many a time in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
And
all like, the stories of
you don't go down
the haunted
there.
Haunted pool.
And the time I played there, the two times I played there, I was just like, I'm going to see how far I can get, And I'm like turning corners and going down stairways that, you definitely shouldn't be on and everything man. But yeah, it was a cool venue.
Yeah, it is. It's cool. But I like that place a lot.
Seeing the Warfield, it had this musk to it, and it needs to be like power washed. Yes. And then, like, obviously,
it needs to be sandblasted.
Yeah, it needs something, man. Just somebody goes in there with some sort of dry cleaning equipment.
Right.
And then, then the Pantera smell shows up, all the illegal weed. I'm like, man, we are watching Mr. Bungle in our friend's basement right now. And it's so cool.
That's funny. Right.
Yeah, it was cool. I had a friend of mine that just through Facebook saw that we were coming. Said, hey, meet up with us before the show. We'll have a drink. We had a drink. She's like, cool. Hey, I know a friend. I can get you some wristbands because we had seats up top.
Oh, cool.
Walked down, got wristbands, walked right up to the stage. Watched the show, man. It was a fun show.
That's cool.
It was cool to see them kind of doing the thrashy stuff, too. And Mike Patton's a vocal legend. So.
Right on.
What's with him growing up around here? Did you know of him early or... Was it until Faith No More?
No, not until he joined Faith No More. And right before that record, saw them at the Berkeley Square right when the record came out.
Right.
And, I remember Mark Oscueta being there and going nuts because, he'd heard the record and there was maybe 50 people at the show. Yeah. It's just, and then record comes out, they blow up, and then they're just, opening for Billy Idol, and just ridiculous. So I didn't really get to know Mike.
Yeah. Were you ever around Cliff Burton?
A little bit. Sean from Violence was one of his good friends and actually roadied for him.
Oh, nice.
A few times. There's a famous New Year's Eve show that was here with, I want to say, Exodus and Megadeth and Metal Church.
I've seen flyers of that, yeah.
And so Sean was roadieing that. And I'd met him a couple times, but not really, Didn't really know him.
What's that?
I didn't really know him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Possessed opened last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, rad.
And what's the singer's name?
Jeff Becerra.
He was having the time of his life. The crowd was going crazy for him.
Right on.
And it was cool to be there to see him opening a show like that. You could see it in his face that he was having the time of his life.
Right.
And you could tell the crowd was maybe had a lot of San Francisco pride with them opening kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool. What a cool thing to do.
He even stopped at one point and he was just like, those shows we did in 84, 85, not a lot of people there. And this is, I think by the end he was saying that was his favorite show he's ever played.
Right.
It was cool to see.
They did the 70,000 Tons of Metal cruise when we were on it. And I didn't get a chance to see him. I was kind of hung over after the first night ruined the whole fucking cruise for me. But but they went over really well on that. Sean, our singer, Doug watching them too. So.
Yeah.
Hope to maybe do some shows with them with Violence down the road.
Yeah, that would be a great bill. Yeah. And obviously looking back into their history, they're forefathers of even death metal,
Their song Death Metal was, they were
right on the nose.
Pretty much. I don't know a lot of the history of it, but probably one of the first bands.
Oh, yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, what else is going on in the Phil Dimmel, under the umbrella of Phil Dimmel, and we'll wrap this up?
Just been writing some tunes with McLean, writing a couple of songs that we got in the works, writing a new Violence record. You're probably the first person that I'm telling that to.
There we go.
We're about to sign a deal to do 5-song EP. So we'll see how that goes and when that could come out. Just writing music, having fun, man.
Living the dream.
Yeah, something cool happening towards the end of this year, and you'll know it when it pops. And nice.
Real quick, you play filling in with Nonpoint. Obviously, yeah. Rob for a long time did a weekly pick from the kit. He would call in and pick a song. So Rob's a very good friend of the show.
Oh, right on.
And so,
love Rob.
You know, how did that happen? How did that come along? Where you got up and did a few couple of shows with those guys?
We opened for Hell Yeah back in 2008, and they were on the bill as well. And so I always liked Nonpoint before then, you know. So it was cool to watch them play, got friendly with them, and I always wanted to hear them play The Reckoning, So and as they come through town, I would play the song with that or play Bullet with them. And so as it became available and they needed somebody to fill in, they said, dude, we'd love for you to play these couple shows and, be rad if I could join the band if I had the time, right. But they need somebody full time.
Thrown out there?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that they needed somebody full time, and they knew I couldn't commit full time, and because the Violence thing's going on, and so
with all that going on, I mean, obviously the Slayer, Nonpoint, filling in here and there, learning all these cover songs, just as a musician, are you listen to it and get it, or are you I need to sit down with it for a while? How are you? How do you learn so quickly?
Listening to structure first.
Yeah.
And most people who've been playing as long as I have, you can hear, like through structure, that's a full step, or this is kind of phrasing. But, that doesn't help when you're listening to a band. We're trying to learn a Slayer song because they're half steps and, weird timing and shit. For the most part, I'll try to figure out as much as I can, and if there's little spots, and you just hit the YouTube or you hit the tabs, and you see that way. But I can pick up stuff pretty quick.
Okay.
But as I'm approaching 53 years old, the retention isn't what it once was. So it's like I'll fuck up on easy songs that So my cover band is called the Merkins.
Okay.
And it's made up of all my high school buddies. It was my high school band basically back together, and then like Marto will sing, but we'll get everybody from the area that we went to school with and kind of have their Little America's Got Talent get to play in front of a couple hundred people and sing a Van Halen song or something. So it's kind of a community thing, but I'll fuck up Sin City or something like that, something super easy, and just go, fuck, what was I fucking thinking, So.
Well, cool, man. Well, Phil, thanks for taking the time, man, coming down and having us at the back lounge here.
Thanks for coming.
If you're in Dublin, California, make sure to stop by and have a drink, right?
If you're in the Bay Area, come by and have a drink.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, like 45-minute drive.
Yeah, from the city, which is pretty good.
We weren't too bad. Traffic
right on,
bad,
man. Thanks for having me, man. Always a pleasure.
Hold my- What's up, everyone? Rob Rivera from the band Nonpoint here, and this is Rob's pick from the kit here on the Talk To Me podcast. This week, we have our good friend, my good friend, and Joshua's good friend, everybody's good friend, one of the nicest guys I have ever met in this industry, top five of people I have met in the nice guy category, Mr. Phil Demmel, from Violence, former Machine Head, former Violence, now back in Violence. I decided to pick a song dedicated to him since I have known him. We have talked a lot about music and some of the bands that he was into growing up. And we have a lot of similar tastes, which makes my friendship with Phil even more awesome than it already is. We're going to pick the band Riot and the song Swords and Tequila from the Fire Down Under album. This record is one of the most underrated albums to ever come out in that era, who has one of the best vocalists, Guy Speranza, who was once considered or rumored or possibly called to be the next singer in Anthrax after Neil Turbin, who sang on the first album, Fistful of Metal, for those who don't know, left the band or he got kicked out. I really don't remember what that whole transition was, but Guy Speranza was the guy on the list, and I would have been very curious to hear Anthrax music with Guy on the vocals. But I'm still to this day extremely happy that Joey Belladonna was picked to be the singer in Anthrax, and still my favorite of the Anthrax eras is the Joey era, even though all the eras are amazing. Anyway, this is a song, Swords and Tequila. I cannot say that. Swords and Tequila, here on the Talk To Me podcast segment of Rob's from the Crypt.
Dirty women, dirty.
All right, huge thank you to Phil Dimmel for taking the time. He literally came over from doing some home repairs to come sit down with me, and that was one of the more fun interviews I've done. I don't do a ton of in-person interviews, so hopefully you guys enjoyed this one. If you like it, make sure to leave a rating, review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Facebook recommendation, or just a simple hey on Facebook on the Talk To Me congregation. Let me know what you guys thought of the live interview and if I should do more of those. Make sure to order a Talk To Me t-shirt. Make sure to head over to merchlive.com. Use the promo code TOME10 at checkout for 10% off your entire order. And so for the Talk To Me podcast, I'm Joshua Toomey, and I will talk to you guys soon.